are Locked On 49ers, your daily San Francisco 49ers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
My guest today is Mr. Matt Barrows of The Athletic. You know him, you love him. We always like talking to Matt on the podcast, and so it's going to be interesting to get his perspective here on this season, which for him, as he wrote recently, was a very long season. So Matt, thank you so much for joining the program once again.
Oh, thanks for having me on, Brian.
So what I alluded to there was an article you wrote about covering the 49ers, and I believe it's since, is it 2003?
Yes, 2003, which was Dennis Erickson and Matt Barrows' first season. Matt Barrows is still here. Erickson long gone.
Yeah, well put. I think we all know how that story ended of the 2003 season, and Matt Barrows thankfully still around. It would be very odd if Matt Barrows only lasted a short time and Dennis Erickson was still here. That would be an interesting book to
Well,
write.
That would probably mean that the 49ers have won, what, 6 Super Bowls in that span?
Yeah, something like that. But that was
that kind of longevity, yeah. You need to be really successful. You need to be Belichickian in order to have that sort of tenure.
He would have been so good and beaten Belichick so many times in the Super Bowl that Belichick wouldn't have a job.
Man, I can't imagine all the Bud Light that would have been consumed over that span of what, 16 seasons?
Was he a Bud Light guy?
Oh, God, love Bud Light. Bud Light's stock would have gone through the roof. The Anheuser-Busch, I mean, if you would have invested in Anheuser-Busch in 2003 with Dennis Erickson winning multiple Super Bowls, through the roof. You'd be a billionaire right now.
Wow. That's kind of like my buddy Tim. He goes to the bar, and he doesn't order a Bud Light. He orders a bucket of Bud Light.
That's right. You're probably not going to drink just one all night.
Exactly. Yeah, why would you? What's the point of that?
So
that was a low point, 2003, and there's been a lot of them. And for you to write something like you did about this season feeling the longest, I don't think it's the worst team, right? So it had to be just all the other factors that go into a team being sort of a season that dragged on for someone who's covered the team for 15 years.
Yeah, and that was a good word to describe it. It was a drag of a season. It was a tedious season, and I'm not criticizing, you know, the people involved. I think it was a necessary season. You had to have this if you're going to do the long rebuild. But there was nothing ever at stake. You knew that they weren't going to be making any, you know, big changes at GM or coaching, things like that. You couldn't criticize the quarterback because the quarterback was hurt in week 3. You knew that it was a young team, and, you know, what's the point of criticizing a second-year guy like Adrian Colbert for making a young mistake? Of course he's going to make a young mistake. So there was just a sense to me, as a veteran reporter, that you just had to kind of hold your nose and wait for it to be over. And I'm glad it is over. And, having said all that, I think year 3 does become interesting because I think things are at stake. And this is when this team has to make its move. I mean, they can't just tread water like they seem to do in 2018. You have to see, obvious signs of progress in 2019. And that to me makes it exciting. There's something at stake now. We need to see the results of this rebuild. You can't keep doing a rebuild in year 3.
You know, it's interesting because a team in 2018 like the Indianapolis Colts, who came out of the gate, I think it was 1-5, and have moved on to the divisional round of the playoffs. If the 49ers in 2019 come out 1-5, does this coaching staff even have an opportunity to turn the thing around and get into the playoffs? Because I got to imagine, and I totally understand where the coaching staff and the GM and everybody's at, the 6-year deals and all that. I think the 6 years don't matter that much, but I think at least going into year 3, there was no way that there was going to be any major changes at the top. But a team comes out of the gate, starts losing a bunch of games again in year 3, there's got to be that conversation, right?
Yeah, I mean, I certainly think that the media and, obviously the fans would have that conversation. You start out 1-5. I don't think ownership would make any move during the season. I mean, to me, the question is, you know, if it's another bad season, sub 8-8 season, is there a year four? And my guess is that there probably is, because there hasn't been even the slightest murmur of that to this point. These guys are both in very, very good standing still with the ownership. So my guess is that they would get a year four, but certainly from our perspective and from the fans' perspective, I mean, year one, 9-game losing streak. Year two, 6-game losing streak. There can't be any streak like that that, you know, tells everybody that it's obvious this team isn't going to the playoffs. They at least need to be flirting with the playoffs, you know, at the midpoint of the season.
Matt Barrows of The Athletic is my guest today on Locked On 49ers. I want to ask him about the Senior Bowl coverage and talk about some of the new faces we'll see on the 49ers sideline in the coaching staff in 2019. But first, I got to tell you guys about MyBookie. The NFL playoffs are here, and it's time to get in on the action with MyBookie. Don't be that guy with no rooting interest as your relatives and friends sit around watching big games. Not this year, when the 53rd Super Bowl is around the corner. It's really the most wonderful time of the year. Make sure you're ready for the daily action by signing up at MyBookie today. They pay fast when you win, which hopefully will be often. Ownership really cares about good customer service too. So whenever you have problems, they're on top of it, especially on their Twitter account at BetMyBookie. And MyBookie offers the craziest props. Where you bet is just as important as who you're betting on. And if you want to make money during the bowl season, you got to go to MyBookie. Join now and MyBookie will offer you a 50% deposit bonus to make sure you have a nice bankroll for bowl season. Use promo code LOCKEDON when you deposit to activate the offer. That's 50% off the first deposit with MyBookie and promo code LOCKEDON. At MyBookie, where you play, you win, you get paid. So one thing that's been a huge positive, talking about the coaching staff and the front office and the people they've brought in and the players, and very high character group. There was obviously the hiccup there with Joe Williams, who his career didn't last long and he's not even in the league anymore as a fourth round running back. And then Reuben Foster, well-documented situation there. But aside from those two guys, and those were the two red flag players coming in that they took a chance on and they got burned on both of those, everybody else has been completely on the other end of the spectrum and super high character guys. And we've seen that down the stretch with the team losing a bunch of games, not quitting, still playing hard, stealing a couple wins at the end of the season, beating the Seahawks, I think, which a lot of fans were excited about, even if it hurt their draft position. Is there something to having some guys, like, let me put it this way. Are the 49ers maybe too nice? Because at some point, you look back at all the good teams that around the league and the good 49ers teams in the past, there was a lot of players that weren't necessarily Saints, and maybe players that even teammates wouldn't be sending Christmas cards to, let alone opponents. So does there need to be a little nasty, a little edge to this team, even if you're not, you know, even if you're not bringing on guys that have a checkered past and a criminal past or anything like that?
Yeah, I agree wholeheartedly with that. Now, John Lynch would argue that you can be both. You can be an upstanding citizen and a good guy in the locker room and be an asshole on the field on Sundays, which is, you know, what he was. I mean, he brought it was known as a fierce guy that you didn't mess with on the field in the locker room. But he's also John Lynch, a really great guy as well. Yeah, I always thought it was interesting that he was on that team when they used a first-round pick on Warren Sapp. I mean, that was a guy who came into that draft, I think it was 1995 maybe, with all sorts of red flags and fell in the first round because of that, and is not a good guy. arguably is a pretty terrible guy, but was the right guy for that team and was the best guy on that team for a lot of years on a team that was led by its defense. So, you know, it's always a fine balance, and you think you're hitting it, and I'm sure the 49ers thought that they were doing that with Reuben Foster in 2017, and boy, it just did not work out at all. So I don't know how they'll approach it, whether they were so buoyed by their most recent draft class, which had, you know, Mike McGlinchey, Dante Pettis, and Fred Warner as their 1, 2, and 3, And all three of those guys were, you know, not just high character guys, but high wunderlick score guys, very smart guys. And you saw them deliver early on in their careers. So I don't know if that's influenced Shanahan and Lynch. That'll be a question to ask them next month at the Combine, later this month at the Senior Bowl, perhaps. But I do think it's a good question. You need a mix. I mean, every good team has that mix of characters on it. And right now the 49ers, think they might, but they could use a couple more additions at least on defense.
You know, and that's where Nick Bosa comes in. He kind of, to me, has a little red ass in him, and I think that might be something that's maybe even good for the locker room, even if, you know, everything doesn't line up politically or whatever with a lot of teammates there. But a guy that plays with the kind of fire he does, and I know Robert Saleh loves to preach violence, and I think that's one of the things that has kept the 49ers away from some draft picks that are players that are edge guys that might have been able to come into the league and get a bunch of sacks and pressure the quarterback, but they are more finesse rushers. I think it would really make John Lynch and Robert Saleh and I think the whole group a little bit more comfortable with drafting a player that has that ability, that toughness to go along with his ability to be flexible and get around the edge and get to the quarterback, but also be a monster against the run and really be a complete player that can play with that kind of violence. So that to me, do you agree that that's like why the Nick Bosa pick has just been such an obvious fit for the 49ers this offseason?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, he's a good all-around player, and you know, you're talking about these younger guys, and it's always a guessing game as to, you know, what they're going to do as you know, an NFL player. It's a leap of faith. But the thing with Bosa is that you sort of have a hedge against that gamble, that inherent gamble, in that he's a lot like his brother. And so you're able to see how his brother has performed, and he's not going to be exactly like his brother. But there's enough of, like I said, a hedge that gives you some measure of reassurance that somebody, you know, who's more of an unknown might not give you. And what you said is absolutely right. I mean, and that's what these next few months will be for, basically. I mean, they're going to have watched the film on these guys ad nauseum. Now comes the, you know, getting to know you stage. I mean, answering or trying to answer those questions that you just asked. What kind of guy is he? How is he going to fit? What's his character like? What's the chemistry going to be like? That's why the Senior Bowl is going to be valuable for Shanahan and his crew. Nick Bosa won't be there, but Jared Allen will be. So will Montez Sweat and some other guys that might be on their radar during the draft.
Yeah, you mentioned you said Jared Allen. Josh Allen is who you meant there.
Josh Allen, yeah. Sorry, yeah. They're not going to redraft Jared Allen. No, I don't think
he'd be a nice.
Although he plays the right position.
Yeah, absolutely. So you mentioned the Senior Bowl there. Does the 49ers coaching the Senior Bowl mean now that Matt Barrows is covering the Senior Bowl?
Yes, I'm going to try to hit every Waffle House in Southeast Alabama during that week. That's a goal of mine.
Oh, good. So I'm going to be reading daily reports from Matt Barrows now and all the workouts, all the one-on-ones. I can't wait for that.
Yeah, I'm going to tell you who's got the best rip move of all the edge defenders out there in Mobile.
Hey, Josh Allen's got a nice dip and rip. I think that's the only move he does have aside from just being more athletic than everybody. So those are going to be some great reports. I can't wait for that one.
Hey, Jared Allen's isn't too shabby either.
Yeah,
so I might try to resurrect that as an idea.
Very true. Let's go to, so we mentioned the coaching staff being safe in the front office at the top, but they have made some moves, one by their own volition and then the other by Jeff Hafley moving on, the defensive backs coach. It looks like he's going to be, co-defensive coordinator at Ohio State, which is interesting. And I think a lot of people were like, well, Jeff Hafley's kind of the guy that we hoped they would replace. I saw his name a lot amongst fans that were disappointed with a lot of the miscommunications on the back end of that defense. So what do you think that means? If Jeff Hafley moves on from the 49ers, and who might they be looking at to fill that role?
I don't know. They're not going to be making any moves right now. Most of that coaching staff is taking a break, and they're not going to come back for until next week. So, we're still seeing how things shake out, and some of the guys who they might be considering now might be getting defensive coordinator gigs. So I think that there's a bit of a wait-and-see element going on among all of the the league's available assistants right now. But there are some interesting names available. Marquand Manuel, for example, was fired by the Atlanta Falcons, their defensive coordinator the last couple of seasons. He's worked with Kyle Shanahan in the past and is familiar with the defense that Robert Saleh runs. So that's a natural fit. Terrell Austin is available. He's been a defensive coordinator the last two seasons. Joe Woods worked with Shanahan in Denver. Tampa Bay, I believe it was, on those early John Gruden staffs. He's got a lot of experience. That could be a fit. And there could be more guys who come open. I don't think that the 49ers are in a rush to fill that spot, but they're probably going to be looking for somebody with a little bit more experience than Jeff Hafley had when he was hired in 2016. Hafley, 39 years old, had only been a secondary coach for, I think, three seasons before he joined the 49ers. I think the 49ers are looking for somebody who can maybe command a room pretty well, because that's, apart from Richard Sherman, that's a very, very young group of guys that will be in that meeting room.
Okay, we've got to take a real quick break, and then more with Matt Barrows after this. Now, the other guy that's not a coach, but I guess strength and conditioning coach, so he has the coach title, but he's more about stuff off the field and preventative stuff, and he's got the Hill over there in Santa Clara, which I'm wondering if that's going to stick around. But Ray Wright, the 49ers have decided to move on from. Do you think it's fair that he gets the blame for all the injuries that have been going on the last couple of years?
Yeah, I do. I mean, I have the hardest time figuring out a rhyme or reason to all the injuries. I mean, two of the biggest ones were ACLs. One was in Kansas City, one was on the team's practice field. Raheem Mostert broke his arm, Adrian Colbert broke his arm, Akella Witherspoon had a PCL. I mean, there doesn't seem to be any sort of pattern to these injuries, and I'm not sure that you can blame one guy, which is what John Lynch said in their postseason press conference. They've been looking at this issue for a while. I don't know whether you can blame somebody. Oh, the next day it turns out that poor Ray Wright has been fired. So I don't know. There may be other things behind it. They may be wanting to go in a different direction and reorganize the whole program. But to single out one guy for the spate of injuries, I don't know if that's fair. To me, it's about kind of looking at the past of some of these players. I mean, Reuben Foster played, a handful of games this season because he kept going in and out of the lineup with a shoulder injury. Well, he had a shoulder injury in college, and some of these other guys were banged up as well before they joined the 49ers, Marquise Goodwin, for example. So, to me, that's the best way to prevent injuries. Don't draft guys who have a propensity to get injured.
I got to ask you one thing here, because my listeners will be upset if I don't, and there's been a lot of rumors going around the last couple of weeks about people who might hit the trade market and some very big names from some veteran players around the NFL. Antonio Brown being, the guy that's getting the biggest headlines right now, but Odell Beckham's name has been in there. Adam Schefter had a report about Jalen Ramsey potentially being available, and he obviously is a scheme fit for the 49ers and a super talented young player, and pass rusher Von Miller. And we know the 49ers are going to be looking at pass rushers this offseason. Do any of those names make sense for the 49ers? Do you think it's even remotely possible that one of those players could be wearing scarlet and gold in 2019?
Yeah, they all make sense for the 49ers. I mean, my guess, I mean, if the 49ers are going to make a trade and give up a high draft pick, my guess is that it would be for a wide receiver. That's a position there are not going to be any remarkable talents available in free agency. You see in the draft these years that it's hard to bring in a guy right away and have him be a, not even a number two wide receiver on a team. It takes years to develop some of these players. So trading for a Beckham or an Antonio Brown would be a way to sort of, get around those issues. You talk about Brown and the huge cap hit that the Steelers are going to take, $21 million. so that a guy is not on your team, they're going to want pretty significant compensation, I would think. And with the 49ers having the number two pick in the draft, I just don't I certainly don't see a number one pick. Now, their second overall pick is practically a first rounder, and maybe that will be sweet enough to work a deal. But it also means that, you know, any team that's at the end of the first round, Indianapolis has a ton of salary cap space. They could do something like that. They seem closer than the 49ers as well. They play in the AFC. I don't know if that would be attractive to Antonio Brown. My point being that there are probably other teams that could offer the Steelers a sweeter deal. I would think that if you're creating a list of the top five teams where Antonio Brown is going to play next year, the 49ers have to be up on that list. I don't know who the other teams are. But like I said, given the need, given the obvious attraction that we're seeing from Brown to the 49ers and various members of the 49ers, it seems like that's a distinct possibility.
Yeah, I love the public, just the way that these guys on social media and publicly now can talk to each other. And they're, you know, the team can't be responsible. There's no tampering involved when George Kittle and Antonio Brown are having a chat or throwing emojis at each other on Twitter. It's a really interesting time to be alive, is I guess the way I would put it.
Yes, it's wonderful. This correspondence is just so rich, and it's going to go down in the annals of wooing and love affairs and things like that.
I mean, Matt, you and I text emojis to each other all the time, but we're super tight like that, you know.
Yeah, it's kind of annoying when I get that 3 a.m. sup from Peacock, but that, I guess it's okay.
I get a lot of who dis from Matt Barrett.
Who dis, right.
Hey, so one quick thing about Antonio Brown, and when the 49ers moved on from Reuben Foster, there was a mantra, protect the team, that John Lynch talked about. Do you think that a player that somewhat quit on his team in pretty much a playoff game, a play-in game in Week 17 for the Steelers, is a player that the 49ers would want to mess with?
Oh, it's absolutely a question. I mean, even a much more innocuous example of that, I remember in 2017, that was the first year that a couple of players had sat out their team's bowl game. I think it was Leonard Fournette and Christian McCaffrey. Mm-hmm. And John Lynch was asked about that, and he admitted that, yeah, it's a little bit, it's a little bit bothersome. I'd rather they had played. So that was that. This is, basically walking out on a team that still at that point had, some chance of making the playoffs. So it was a much bigger deal. And then all the stuff that's happening right now. I mean, we're laughing at the wooing part of it, but this guy's still under contract with the Steelers, and he's making all sorts of obvious, flagrant, flamboyant moves to kind of roil the waters. So that certainly has to be a question that they ask themselves. And no trade can happen until March 13th. So we've got more than 2 months for this to either play out or to get even worse. It can go in a lot of different directions than it is right now, but it does seem like this Antonio Brown in Pittsburgh relationship is nearing an end.
That is Matt Barrows of The Athletic, and not only can you find his work at theathletic.com, it's definitely worth the subscription over there. Fantastic work by not only the 49ers crew with David Lombardi and Matt Barrows and just the whole national crew, and all the sports and all the Bay Area coverage has been pretty awesome from The Athletic, but also podcast, No Breaks Podcast. You guys going to keep that going for the offseason?
Yeah, I think so. It might not be once a week, but we're going to do it regularly. Going to get some draft stuff on in advance of the Senior Bowl for sure, to kind of take a look at the guys that are going to end up being on Kyle Shanahan's team.
That is Matt Barrows. Matt, thank you so much. Always a pleasure.
Anytime, Peacock. Talk to you soon.
And that's going to do it for this episode of Locked On 49ers. Thanks again to Matt for joining the show. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Be back tomorrow with a Winky Wednesday. Get those mailbag questions in to me on Twitter at BDPeacock or email LockedOn49ers@gmail.com. Talk to you then right here on Locked On 49ers.